Just like Dickie, we have huge upside. This is Fantasy Science.
Hey, hey, everyone. How's it going? Welcome to Episode 3 of Fantasy Science.
Episode 3 of Fantasy Science.
Yeah, can't believe it. Episode 3.
Fantasy Science!
We've established Fantasy Science.
Fantasy Science.
Yes. Third episode coming up here. Last cast was Sunday, I believe, the third.
Yeah, the third, yes.
So we've been
all of you on the American calendar, regular calendar?
I believe it's a world calendar.
Is it world?
The world uses
our calendar now? I know, we invented this calendar, didn't we?
We did not, but that's fine. Anyway. That's for another time. Today, last time we did our draft and we posted those results on Facebook.
We did.
So if you haven't gotten a chance to check them out, check us out at Facebook at Fantasy Science.
Yeah, if you want to see just how bad Dan did, then you can check it out.
I believe that you're very jealous of my team.
Of a few parts, but not most of it.
My pitching staff is unhittable.
Mine's better. I've got Verlander. That's all I need.
We'll see how that goes.
Or we won't.
Yeah, or we won't. Yeah. But, yeah, so if you want to check that out, head over to Facebook at Fantasy Science.
Fantasy Science!
Keep updated on Twitter at Fantasy Science as well.
Indeed.
And send us emails at thisisfantasyscience@gmail.com.
Yeah, again, that's thisisfantasyscience@gmail.com. Some jerk took fantasyscience@gmail.com, so I'll have to go find him.
Yeah, we're still looking for him.
Actually, I might have created that one a long time ago and then just forgot about it.
So we might actually have that domain.
Yeah, anyway.
But that's for another time. So if it is Mitch, we've already found him.
Yes, we have found him, and you don't need to look for him.
Yeah, yeah. All right, great. So let's get into it here.
Indeed.
So we're going to start something weekly here. It's going to be my old man of the week.
Dan loves old men.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm a huge fan of baseball in the past. And why not educate you as a listener on players that were relevant many years ago, probably
unless
before you were born.
Unless you're older than us, which would be really awkward that we're trying to educate you.
Yeah, unless you're older than us. Then those players were relevant when you were our age.
Isn't likely, because me and Dan have a combined age of at least 46.
40, yes, I believe that's actually exactly correct.
Yeah, so, yeah, at least though.
Yes.
Not trying to give you exact ages.
No, we don't want to sell ourselves like that.
Nope.
Okay, so our first guy here is arguably one of the best batting average hitters of all time.
Matt Wieters?
It never will be Matt Wieters.
No, agreed.
He played 20 years in the major leagues. Every single year he played in the major leagues, played with the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, which is absurd because, I mean, it's San Diego. They've never done anything.
He took them to two World Series.
That's nothing.
Won a few pennants with the Padres, which is incredible to think now how bad the Padres are.
Yeah, it's absurd.
But I mean, in this day and age, playing 20 years with one team.
Well, he loves San Diego. That was, I don't know, I think he was from there, but that became like his home away from home. I can't remember if he was from there.
He's from California, I believe.
Is he from Cali? Okay, well, there you go. Well, yeah, but he was just so involved in the community there and everything like that. So getting off topic,
from Long Beach.
He didn't want to play anywhere else. He's kind of like Felix Hernandez in Seattle. He'll never play anywhere else.
Yeah, it's a good story. So we should probably tell you who it is. If you don't know already, Tony Gwynn is the man we'll be talking about today for the first segment.
Yeah, for those of you who are updated these days, it's not Tony Gwynn Jr. We could care less about him.
No, he's not. He's fantasy irrelevant.
Yes.
Car. Yeah, oh yeah, I guess...
Yeah, we should mention where we're at in our studio. So our studio is not soundproof. It is actually our living room.
Yeah, we can't afford a real studio.
No, we can't afford a real studio. We can't even afford to have two mics. Last time we tried using two mics, one of them was actually the Rock Band mic.
Yeah, that's where we're at right
now.
Yeah,
and so it was too... His mic was too sensitive, my mic wasn't sensitive enough, and so we ended up having an echo, which you might have heard in the last show.
Yeah, so we're going to try to eliminate that here with one microphone, and if you hear random noises...
it's probably the street outside.
Yeah, there was just a car horn, so if you heard that, that's the joy of listening to a cheap podcast.
Yeah, we're our budget, what was our budget? Like $12?
I think we're negative $12.
We are negative $12 in the hole, so if you want to send us $12...
We'd appreciate breaking even.
Yes, it'd be lovely. All right, back to Tony Gwynn.
Back to Tony Gwynn. Let's just give you some absurd numbers from Tony Gwynn here. 338 career hitter over 20 years.
Career.
Yeah. He batted 309 twice, batted under 309 once, and every year other than that, he was over 309.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
just absurd eyes, absurd hands.
Oh. Yeah, we'll talk about his best year. He hit .394 in the strike short year.
He had to be like the closest guy to .400 in the last however many years.
I think he's the only guy after World War II to have approached .400 like that.
World War II was quite a while ago.
Yeah, not easy to do, especially as the season's gotten longer over history. I mean, just to give you some of his highlight years, got .394, .370, .372, .368, .351, .353. And this is, I mean, my God, it's just every year is unbelievable.
He was pretty good in fantasy a long time ago.
Yeah.
For those of the people that were playing fantasy, you know, with just books and writing down numbers and stuff.
Made 15 All-Star games.
Yeah, that's a lot. Out of his 20 years, right?
So out of his 20 years, yeah.
75% for those of you who can do math.
Yeah. Never struck out more than 40 times in a season.
What?
Yeah. Never struck out more than 40 times in a year.
God, Matt Wieters does that in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably in a game.
Yeah, I don't know how.
I believe only 1 year he had more strikeouts than walks.
It's not even like Adam Dunn definitely had 40 strikeouts in 1 month.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, his only year where he had more strikeouts than walks was his rookie year, and he only had 2 more strikeouts than walks.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, incredible bat control at the plate. Doubles machine. Not really big power. Only 17 is his career high. For home runs, but that wasn't his game.
Mm-hmm.
He was a slap guy. And I guess to make Tony Gwynn more relevant now, I'm going to take and compare to a guy that I found, and let me know if you agree here, Mitch. Michael Young is the guy that I have selected.
I think Tony Gwynn had a longer, more successful career, obviously.
Agreed.
Michael Young is a very good average hitter, at least he was until last year.
Yeah.
And
I can give you numbers here on Michael Young.
Give me some. Wait, convince me.
So Gwynn's a career .338 hitter. Michael Young, career .301.
Yeah, just slightly off, you know, 30 points, but whatever, okay.
Had, let's see, he's hit .331, .314, .315, .313, .306,
okay.
.338, .322.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think that's, did I just rattle off 7 maybe years that he's hit? Well over 300.
Good amount of years.
Yeah. Basically the same doubles average that Tony Gwynn in a 162 game season would average 36 doubles. Michael Young 37.
Jeez.
Tony Gwynn more productive as a stolen base guy early in his career, but they leveled out to be about the same. Tony Gwynn 21-ish stolen bases in a full year. Michael Young, he's a little bit less now that he's older. But he was in that 10 to 15 range when he was a bit younger. He's about the closest thing in nowadays to a guy who didn't strike out that much.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, it doesn't happen like it used to. Gets a ridiculous amount of plate appearances. Tony Gwynn, I mean, was over 600 most of his career. Michael Young, same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because both guys batted right near the top of the order. Michael Young and, I believe, Tony Gwynn were both two hitters for a good majority of their career.
Yep. Yeah.
That's
a pretty fair comparison.
I don't know who else you go with that has that kind of batting average, kinda, but doesn't have that power.
It's tough these days because, you know, batting averages are down compared to historic numbers.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I've been hearing. The pitching's become a little bit more dominant, even with the shrunken strike zone.
Yeah,
it's hard to find an anchor comparison to Tony Gwynn. I don't think anyone will ever have an average, you know, that historically high for their entire career.
It's tough
ever again. Maybe like if Bryce Harper or Mike Trout become, you know, who they're supposed to become.
Maybe,
but you know it. Ugh, it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I mean, guys, it's the most common comparison that Tony Gwynn's seeing, like historically. Ty Cobb's name pops up.
Yeah.
Joe DiMaggio's name pops up. Ted Williams, Rod Carew.
I think Dan Zydek's high school career pops up.
Yeah, I was 0-for-1 in my high school career, by the way. I was a pitcher, not a hitter.
You only hit once?
I am 0-for-1 with a K.
You only went to bat once?
0-for-1 with a K, yep.
I just insulted Dan, and I apologize to you, Dan, because I definitely went more than 0-for-1.
No,
I struck out much more than 1 times.
Yeah.
But I also hit a few home runs and a few doubles. I was a power hitter, and I could not... hit singles worth my life.
I was DH'd for most of my career, and the only reason I got an at-bat was because of a weird roster situation that happened at that moment.
Mm-hmm. They ran out of guys on the team, and they were thinking about using the Batgirl, but they switched to Dan instead.
They should have used the Batgirl.
They really should have.
It's actually a funny story, because I wasn't supposed to hit. Our other pitcher was supposed to hit, but he actually was caught doing chewing tobacco behind the dugout. and not even kidding, literally got kicked off the team the sixth inning.
Oh, wow. And so, the only reason you got in at bat in high school is because a kid got caught chewing tobacco.
Yeah, and so I had to pinch hit and then go pitch.
All right. Well, hey, fantasy science listeners, if you have a more ridiculous high school story than that, I would love to hear it, because I doubt any of you will.
That one's tough. That one's pretty tough to top.
Really tough to beat.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't told you that one before.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get into some of my my crazy high school. I guess we're going to both of ours at certain points.
Yeah,
I apologize for wasting everyone's time Dan's life. But it's pretty fantasy relevant right there.
Yeah, we should talk about our high school careers at some point. Good times. Yeah, so Michael Young, Tony Gwynn, maybe let you decide if you have some comments about it. You know, tweet at us, Facebook us,
email us. If you guys think you know someone who would be a better comparison to a player who's still playing today, okay?
Yes.
Still playing today, still in the league. And don't say Tony Gwynn Jr. because it's inaccurate.
Yeah, please. I mean, I worked pretty hard trying to find this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I looked through a lot of players. So if you find someone, please send them.
Yeah,
we'd love to see him.
Even like Mike Trout last year, you know, he had an absurd year. And you know what his average was?
Let's see. What, 320?
326, yeah.
326.
So yeah, he had an absurd, insane year. And yes, he's young. He can definitely have better years eventually. But, they don't expect him to, repeat their last year, the success he had.
Yeah, but he didn't hit 394.
No, he did not hit 394.
That's amazing.
If I could do the math, I would for you guys. It's around 70. I know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
what we got next, Daniel?
We got some news coming your way. We'll kind of go through this maybe a little bit quick, because I'm sure if you're looking around baseball, you've probably heard some of this before. But we'll give it a little run through here. First on the list, Mr. Kyle Loesch.
Mr. Kyle Loesch. I'm sure you've heard of this guy. He played for the Cardinals last year.
He was my god on fantasy last year.
Yeah, Dan had a terrible, awful pitching staff except for R.A. Dickey and Kyle Loesch. That was it. And the rest he would just stream through because we didn't have any pitching rules.
Yeah, I took advantage of the rules.
Yeah, so this year we have a starting or game started limit because of Dan.
Yeah. Which,
so we call it the Zydek rule.
The Zydek rule. So. Yeah, Kyle Loesch, interesting development. There were talks that the Rangers potentially could sign Kyle Loesch. They've got a sort of a questionable fifth starter problem. They've got like Colby Lewis, Alexio Gondo, Neftali Feliz, all that sort of mess in the 4 and 5 area.
Yeah.
So there was talk about Kyle Loesch possibly going there, but problems. One, he's not really a proven ace. Two, he's over 30. And three, if you sign him, you lose a draft pick.
Yeah, I think the draft pick compensation probably is actually the number one deterrent for most teams.
Yep.
Because, unless you're in the bottom 10?
Yep.
Then you lose someone. One of my thoughts is, why doesn't a team that's out of the top or bottom 10, pay another team that's in the bottom 10 to pick him up? Like, do some kind of like a trade for him then so they don't have to lose it? And maybe they'll give the other team like their number 2 pick? But I don't know if there's some baseball rules against that, or these teams just aren't as smart as I am.
There could be. The trading rules get awfully complicated. I do know that.
Yeah.
I don't know to what extent, and it's probably way above our heads.
I would think that they would have something in there that, some clause.
So, Kyle Loesch, big slap in the face though recently to Mr. Loesch.
Yeah, he's a Boris. Boris is an agent.
That's
and,
true.
Boris is always asking for way too much.
Yeah, and because of that, the Rangers signed veteran Derek Lowe.
Derek Lowe, where was he even at last year?
Either Cleveland or Boston. I don't remember.
He ended up somewhere.
Yeah, he
was. I mean, he was good with the Braves a couple years ago. Less relevant now.
Yeah, he's old. really is the really the problem.
That well, that happens to everyone, Dan. At a certain age, you just things stop working.
And let's see, he played for Cleveland and the Yankees last year.
Oh, so not Boston.
No, Boston. Do you ever play for? Oh yeah, he played for Boston like 10 years ago. Jeez.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, Dan has time traveled back from the past.
Yeah. Yikes, that was a long time ago.
Okay, so he played for the Yankees and he played for the Indians last year.
Yeah, and he's going to be 40 this year. So,
he's trying to break Jamie Moyer's record. He's only got another about 5 years to go.
Probably got
so,
like 10. Yeah. Jamie Moyer.
Yeah,
like
Jamie
90.
Moyer's probably going to come back this year. So,
that's Kyle Loesch still sitting out there. Could be interesting. If you are sort of out of bench options and you just kind of snag them as a last guy.
Yes, exactly. You know, if no one else has picked them up yet, there's no good pitchers left. I mean, we ran into that problem, like where we were, I can't remember who we were trying to look for. You're very upset when you didn't get like Mark Burley that one time.
Yeah, yeah. If you're at that stage in your draft,
you're like, oh, Mark Burley is gone. Oh, darn, that was like the best pitcher on the board. Then yeah, you might want to pick up Kyle Loesch just in
Kyle
case.
Loesch.
I mean, if you're an AL NL league, or I mean, if you're in a AL or NL only league, you know, and it's not a deep league like ours is, you know, what, 10 teams? It's pretty thin, you know, and you have no other good options at the end. Why not just throw out a flyer for him, you know, and just pray he gets signed in your league? And if not, you lose him and you pick up someone else off the board that you would have had anyway.
So. Right. Little disclaimer about Loesch, too, with this whole pick situation. If a team picks him up past June after the draft's over, they can avoid that pick loss for this year. I don't know if it would give them a pick loss for the coming year, but I don't know if a team hasn't signed Loesch now, why would they, why not wait until June after that threat of the pick goes away?
Yeah.
So could be an interesting pickup on the waiver wire midway through the year.
One of the coaches is eventually going to pick him up anyway, just because the coach probably has a fantasy team and he really wants him to be on his team. So I'm sure that's a factor. You know, Joe Girardi is like trying to tell Brian Cashman to, like, you know, get him real quick.
Yes, because he loves Kyle Loesch.
He loves Kyle Loesch on his fantasy team, and he wants to win.
Yeah, Joe Girardi seems to me like a guy that would draft Matt Wieters.
Yeah, can we just have a quick note about Brian Cashman? I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard this news as well. You know, just quick note, not fantasy relevant at all, seeing as Brian Cashman doesn't hit or pitch. But yeah, he was doing a fundraiser for the Wounded Warriors Project.
Yep.
He did two jumps out of a plane skydiving, and on the second jump he kind of like shattered his ankle or leg or something.
Irony.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, he was doing it for the good cause, great cause. Yeah, and actually probably got more PR than it would have.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it was probably a good thing. You know, thank you, Brian Cashman. We appreciate the armed services for everything you guys do for us.
Of course. Of course.
For all three of you listening. So go Brian Cashman.
Yeah, that actually presents a nice segue. Mr. GM for the Yankees, we'll move on to a Yankee now. Poor Mark Teixeira.
I don't know if you can call him poor. He's making a lot of money.
Not poor in the monetary sense, just poor for his health.
I don't think he cares about his health too much. He's making a lot of money.
He does make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Mark Teixeira, on ESPN's draft kit, I'm not sure if this is updated
or not
to deal with the injury, but
he's where's he at?
The 13th best first baseman.
I think that's... Who's he in front of behind?
He's in front of Adam LaRoche, Ike Davis, behind Freddie Freeman, Joe Mauer, Carlos Santana.
That might be updated. I don't know.
You know, I'm starting to think it is updated.
I think that is updated, actually. Yeah. But I don't know. I would not want him at that point anyway. I'd rather have Adam LaRoche.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him either. But yeah, Mark Teixeira out 8 to 10 weeks.
Like every other Yankee, apparently.
With it's a mysterious wrist injury, and the reason...
It was just during batting practice.
Yeah, said he heard a pop. Don't know what that means because, I mean, going back to last year, if you think about Jose Bautista's injury, same sort of thing. He had a wrist ailment.
Yeah.
Went on the 15-day DL, tried to come back.
Well, he tried to come back quick. And I guess we have with Teixeira, he's trying to come back quick as well. So
yeah, and so, I mean...
power's probably going to be gone as a thing. You know?
Right, well,
and
then...
Where's his value?
Bautista had to get surgery. So
yes.
Teixeira's interesting because... Are the Yankees benching him for 8 to 10 weeks as a precaution, or do they know that something else is, you know, going on in there that they're not telling everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. But if
he does, they are the Yankees. They are pretty shifty.
Yeah, and if he does end up playing, you know, if he misses April, May, and half of June, and then ends up playing who knows where his power's at.
Yep, exactly. So, you know what? Let someone else take that risk in your league. At that point, you know, I'd rather have, you know, guys behind him.
Yeah, even in, I mean, even in this the AL-only draft that we're doing,
yeah,
he was relatively high on my watch list because of the potential and the lineup that he was playing in. But now, since Granderson's gone, and since he's gone down with an injury, Teixeira is just...
A-Rod's out for a while. I've heard some crazy statistic earlier, like, the Yankees had like 260-some home runs last year, and 180 of them are out. Or gone. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, that's absurd. Yeah, ESPN on my cheat's got him at 17, so I think that is updated. They got him right in front of Paul Konerko, your boy Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard.
And Adam LaRoche. And you know what? I'd probably rather have... And even Chris Davis, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's...
God, even Kendrys Morales, Nick Swisher. I don't know who I'd rather... Like, I think Kevin Youkilis might be the cutoff point for me as to, like, who I would take between the two of them.
He's the only Yankee that's healthy.
Yeah. Well, it's just surprising because Youkilis, he's not a healthy guy, usually.
Quick other Yankee news. I don't know if you've seen this.
Because you're so much more updated than I am.
It's just kind of a little interesting tidbit. The same source that called out Melky Cabrera last year before it was actually official has now called out four players for PEDs for this year. One of the players on the list is Robinson Cano.
No.
One of the players on this sources list is Robinson Cano.
No, you gotta be kidding.
And they're not an established source yet. It's a website, but they were 3 weeks before Melky Cabrera news broke the Melky Cabrera story.
Wow.
Something interesting to be aware of when it comes to Robinson Cano.
That's huge, because, you know, most drafts he goes, like, what, fourth?
Yeah.
Something like that, so... Yeah, that's a draft killer right there. Sheesh, you pick him up and he's gone for, what, 50 games?
Yep, and to add...
If he gets caught, yeah.
And to add insult to injury, Curtis Granderson also on that list of four.
That's surprising.
Yep, that was the most surprising on that list. I can't remember the other two of him.
Just tell me none of the other two are Tigers.
I don't believe so.
Good. All right, we're fine then. Everything is good in baseball, everyone. The Tigers are fine.
And I'm trying to... I can't remember who the other two on the list, but I just remember Robinson Cano... Curtis Granderson, from the same source that reported Melky Cabrera right before it happened, so take that for what you will. Next bit of news, Carlos Marmol trade rumors.
Yeah, apparently the Cubs are looking to get rid of him, finally.
Yeah, thank God for the Cubs.
Yeah, they might actually make a smart decision for once.
Yeah, interesting, Carlos Marmol... I think when he's on, has some of the best stuff in baseball.
From what I've heard, one other people compared this, I thought it was a good comparison too. Someone said that Craig Kimbrel is Carlos Marmol if he could control his stuff.
Yeah, I mean, since I'm from Chicago, I've been to quite a few Cubs games. I've seen Marmol pitch a lot. I've seen him on maybe one game out of the 9 or 10 that
but
I've seen.
But when he was on, it was absolutely disgusting.
He struck out all three guys on three pitches.
Yeah, he's a guy who can walk the bases loaded and then strike out the side.
Yeah, he's horribly inconsistent.
Or he could walk the bases loaded and then walk the next three guys.
But seriously, his slider is on par with Craig Kimbrel's.
Yeah.
Easily. It's nasty.
It's disgusting.
But the consistency's killed him. For some reason, the only reason he's held a job is because they're the Cubs. And they were under terrible management
They were under terrible management. They were under horribly awful management. They had Alfonso Soriano.
Yeah, signed to a giant deal. But that's for another time.
Oh, that's for every time.
So Carlos Marmol, trade rumors. And trade rumors seem to be landing him in your hometown.
Well, that's one of the possibilities.
Your hometown team.
My Tigers don't really have a closer. We got Rondon guy.
Bruce Rondon?
Yeah, he pitched in some... I don't even know. He pitched like a couple innings, like 11 batters, and he like walked like five of them. So,
oh yikes!
But then he struck out like six.
He's Carlos Marmol in waiting.
Yeah, he throws like 100 plus, and he'll strike out guys, but he can't control his stuff.
Yeah,
to the point that I'm pretty sure actually the Tigers are keeping him out of his next proposed outing, and they're just having him practice pretty much on location, and just getting it over the plate.
To give you an idea of Rondon and Marmol here on the relief pitcher list, you got Rondon at the 302nd overall and the 35th relief pitcher.
Gotta love him.
And then at 36, guess who's at 36?
Marmol.
Carlos Marmol, right behind him.
Exactly. Look, so yeah, the Tigers are looking actually downgrade.
Yeah, Marmol going at 330, Rondon at 302. I mean, 10-team mixed league, there's no way.
No, no, you don't even think about them. But you see in our AL-only format that we're going to have, there's definitely some consideration.
Yeah, Carlos Marmol and Bruce Rondon might actually sneak off the board there.
Yeah, if Carlos Marmol gets traded, but yeah.
Yeah, if Carlos Marmol gets traded, yeah. So that's interesting to watch.
Yes.
I can't see it having too much fantasy impact unless you're in one of those AL-NL.
Or unless Carlos Marmol, you know, gets some lessons from Craig Kimbrough on how to control
stuff. Yeah, unless he figures it out.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's our news for today. Interesting stuff, actually.
Yes, certainly. Indeed.
Yeah, so
we do try to keep it relevant for you
we
guys.
We do.
Especially with, you know, Brian Cashman breaking his leg.
Yeah, and Tony Gwynn.
And Tony Gwynn, very relevant these days.
Yeah, so we're gonna make some predictions. We're going to take a little side street here from fantasy relevance. Just to add to the fun here, we're going to predict every division winner.
Yes, and we then are. Our, I mean, hopefully not. If it'd be really awkward if every single one the same, that would just be really strange.
Yeah, and then our World Series predictions. So I'm going to write mine down.
Well, I'm just going to think mine in my head and then say it honestly.
Well, so, I'm going to write mine down as I say them. So I have, you know, a list of keeping track.
You could just listen to the podcast again.
Yeah, I could.
You could download the list. You'd be one of our listeners, Dan.
I do download.
You download? So do I. we love listening to our own stuff.
Yeah, we got to make sure we're providing good content.
Or just content.
All right. So,
just that we're speaking clearly.
Yes. So let's start here, Mitch.
Where do you want to start?
I'm going to ask you, we're going to go NL Central.
NL Central? Oh, that's easy. Cincinnati. Not close.
Mitch says the Reds.
St. Louis, what, the Rafael Furcal just is out for the season. He's having Tommy John surgery. He's gone. Who else do they have on their team? What, Pete Cosma?
He's their other shortstop, yep.
Yeah, so, and Matt Holliday, that's it.
Well, they got Alan Craig. They have John Jay.
Yeah, John Jay, so me and Dan were playing in a MLB 2K12 fun game.
Fun game, indeed.
It had a little glitch where John Jay somehow batted, what was it, like 5,000 times during the season?
Yeah,
the game. And he still only had like 20 home runs. It was great.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So yeah, if John Jay somehow has 5,000 at bats, the Cardinals will be amazing this year.
Yes. All right, so, I mean, this is probably this might be one of the few divisions where we're unanimous.
Well, I would think this would be unanimous.
I don't think there's any team in the NL Central that's better than the
Reds. No, this is a lockdown right here.
Yeah. So we're both calling Reds. Let's move to the, let's go out west for the NL. Who do you got in the NL West?
NL West. Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. Dodgers are looking good, obviously. I'm not picking them yet. Don't write this down.
It's a preemptive write. I haven't
don't
written anything
write it down.
Oh, writing your initial down.
Don't write it down. So the Dodgers are, I think they're probably the sexy pick this year. Probably to win.
Probably.
You know, the Giants are the, you know, they won it last year pretty, I wouldn't say handily, but handily by eight games. So yeah, handily.
They did win it.
But you know what? Oh, I'm having a hard time. I can't go the Diamondbacks. I like the Diamondbacks. I can't go them. I'm going to go with San Fran. They have a very solid pitching staff. This very solid team overall. Buster Posey. As long as he doesn't block the plate anymore, he'll be good.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm going with them.
I'm gonna take that unsexy Diamondbacks pick and make it my pick.
There you go.
And the reason
I'm gonna be really regretting this, you know, when they actually win.
And I'm gonna say it because I think getting rid of Upton was probably a good move. I think it opens up the road for Adam Eaton, who could be a stud, who could be a bust, who knows. Yeah. He's got big potential.
Yes, he does. He's an on-base hog.
Yeah, pretty solid pitching staff. Pretty good closer, pretty reliable.
Who's their closer, J.J. Putz?
J.J.
Yeah,
Putz.
The only reason you like him is he used to be a Sock.
I didn't like him when he was a Sock.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
Well, he's good now.
So I think the Diamondbacks are going to fly a bit under the radar with the Giants and the Dodgers, especially the Dodgers being all Hollywood, getting Green Key and spending, you know, $1 billion
on
players.
There are pitchers that are just as good as Green Key that aren't paid half as much as him.
No, but it's like you said, they're the sexy pick for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly, they are the sexy pick. They're bringing sexy back.
They are bringing sexy back.
I mean, if Matt Kemp can stay healthy, that'll be very scary. He was looking like a big MVP candidate last year. So.
Definitely. NL East.
NL East, not close, Washington. Move on.
Nationals.
It's not even close.
Nationals, Nationals.
You can lock that in for you, too.
Don't you
dare say Atlanta.
No, I...
If Dan Fox, if you're listening, no, Atlanta is not winning your division.
And they might win the wild card and then lose in game one of it. So, yeah, Nationals, pretty unanimous there. They're just loaded with talent. Miami fire-sailed their whole team. The Mets are...
Well, they were 29 games back last year anyway, so they might be further.
The Mets are quote-unquote rebuilding, but who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, they're sketchy.
The Braves are probably going to have a good year, but not a Nationals year.
No, I mean, they got the Upton brothers. I've never really been that big of a fan. They're going to strike out the most out of any team. I'm calling this right now. Braves have the most strikeouts by the end of the year. It's not even that big of a call.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
They were one of the top teams in strikeouts last year.
And they had two big strikeouts.
Yeah, they added both the Uptons. So.
I think that's a pretty fair bet.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to disagree with that one. Hopefully not.
And so now we.
Although Baltimore does have Matt Wieters.
And Chris Davis.
And Chris Davis.
But Matt Wieters mostly.
Yeah.
And then the Phillies. If their veteran guys play like they're supposed to, maybe.
If Chase at least stays healthy, they're a good team.
Ryan Howard jumps back to 2010 numbers. If Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee rebound, that's a scary team, too, if that happens.
Remember when they were like, oh, yeah, Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, and Roy Oswalt? Roy Oswalt.
This is a shout-out to Roy Oswalt. Where are you?
Yeah, what happened to you?
Yeah, where are you?
Dude,
you don't know where you are.
You're in a ditch somewhere?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So,
Side note. If you tell Cliff Lee, if you see Cliff Lee, that is exactly what I look like, pretty much.
It's a true statement.
Except I'm not left-handed.
No, he's very much right-handed.
But I'm pretty much exactly like looking like Cliff Lee. Yep. So if you think he's a good-looking dude, hit me up. I'm a good-looking dude as well, then.
Yeah, send
and
us
if not, then don't say anything.
Send us an email with your picture with Cliff Lee.
Yes, please do.
So let's move to the AL Central.
AL Central, obviously I'm picking the Tigers.
Obviously, you have to.
I'm a Tigers fan. They just added Torii Hunter, who obviously is not old at all. He's very solid.
Right.
We got V-Mart back, though. That's huge. Veteran presence on the team. Just going to be an overall solid year. Got Miggy coming back strong. Did you see that home run he hit over the Tiki Hut?
That was a bomb.
He blasted the crap out of that. Then he had two home runs the other day for Venezuela.
Yeah.
To put him over. This guy is absolutely absurd. As long as we have him on the team, knock on wood.
Yeah, that's a wood knock.
Yeah, and Verlander, and we just signed Anibal to a longer contract.
Max Scherzer plays like he did at the second half last year.
Exactly. Max Scherzer is a scary beast. Doug Fister is a good pitcher, too.
Yep.
And, we got the best infield, fielding-wise, easily. You got Miggy at third. Peralta at short. Peralta's fielding percentage is the highest out of anyone. You know why? Because he can't get anything left to right. He gets everything straight to him.
Yeah, if it's hit right at him.
Yeah, we got Prince at first.
God.
And then our only athletic guy in the infield is Omar Infante.
So. Yes.
That is why the Tigers win. What do you think, Dan? Who do you got?
So my logic says Tigers, but my heart has to say White Sox.
Well,
I just have
to
say
it. Because you're a homer. And they only finished three games back last year.
And we'll talk about the reason the White Sox are going to fly under the radar. They don't have a bunch of big stars.
No. And they never really have.
No. The thing is, their offense is on it. They have I believe, the best offense in spring training, which really, of course, doesn't mean anything.
Spring training means a lot, Dan.
It
means nothing, actually.
They're deep, actually, at every position. They have very good bench players to spot their veterans. So Canerico and Dunn won't have to continuously play first base, which is awesome.
Oh, crap, Dan. We missed our 30-minute mark. 1 second.
Oh, 30-minute mark.
Which means seventh-inning stretch.
Seventh-inning stretch. And if for you guys who didn't listen last time, this is the time where we all crack open a beer and toast to good times and good life and all that other fun stuff.
Actually, I think we can just, we haven't got any sponsors yet, so we can just say what we're drinking today.
Yeah, so what is this?
We got this, the Killian's Irish Stout with the Talking Bottle Opener.
Yeah,
the Talking Ted Bottle Opener.
Yeah. We're making shameless plugs left and right.
Yeah, so.
I think there's going to be twists, but whatever.
While Mitch is running around here, I'll give my AL West prediction. My AL West prediction. This is the same thing again. The Angels are the sexy pick.
There you go.
No doubt. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Cheers.
Cheers, sir. Everyone else who's... and by the way, we didn't mention this last time. Please join us in a drink if you are over the age of 21 or in your respective state if you're with a parent that... And that's a law. And
whatever
works. Whatever works. If you're legal to drink in your prospective state, drink with us.
We definitely don't want to encourage underage drinking.
Absolutely not.
Delicious.
delicious.
Indeed. So I think the Angels, again, that sexy pick in the West for the AL. Big offseason sign.
Who are you picking, though?
Josh Hamilton.
Who are you picking?
I'm getting there. My pick, yeah, I'm going to go very, very dark horse.
Oh, don't you dare say it.
I'm going to say the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, that is so dark horse.
Seattle Mariners.
I think they've won like some 10 games in a row in spring training, by the way.
So, Mariners moved in Safeco fences.
Yep.
They have so many question marks that if they perform, Kyle Seager, Kendrys Morales, Dustin Ackley, if those guys perform...
Justin Smoke.
Justin, well, he's not going to perform, so I just leave him off.
He was like a top prospect.
Yeah, I know. But I those three guys, I think, to me, are key. If Felix stays healthy...
What's in their
Yeah, don't know. They have... That pitcher... they have that pitcher. They have that guy from that team.
That guy.
From far away ago, yes.
Yeah, I don't
oh,
know
yeah, that. Here he is. Hisashi Iwakuma. Gee.
The guy who was a relief pitcher last year?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So he was pretty good as that last year.
That's probably Seattle's largest question mark is pitching. But I think that, I mean, the Angels...
This is me trying to wrap my head around your thought process. Ready? And this is not me questioning you.
Mm-hmm.
This is me questioning your judgment. How do you think that they're going to overperform over the Angels, Texas, and Oakland?
I don't know. It was the same question I had with Oakland last year. How the heck were they going to do it? And they did it.
Because they got Billy Bean.
Yeah, well, hey, Seattle.
Billy Bean, according to, I can't remember who they just signed. Who they just signed from Japan.
Oh, the shortstop.
Yeah, the shortstop. What, I can't remember his name right now. I apologize to him.
Hiroyuki Nakajima.
That guy. He said that one of the reasons he signed with Oakland is because Billy Bean is sexy.
Oh,
he
did say that. He did say that.
You know how inspirational it is to have a sexy guy like Billy Bean?
And I kind of felt like, though, I was making some... I mean, other than the White Sox, I just made that from heartfelt. But I felt like my other picks were a little safe. And so I felt like I just needed to go something that was a little bit off-kilter.
Uh-huh.
And I do think the Mariners, I think they have a lot of, you know... I think there's a lot of question marks, but if the question marks are on the upside...
Mm-hmm.
I think that they scare the Angels a little bit.
That's fair. I don't think Oakland repeats what they did last year,
no.
Unfortunately. I do like them, but I don't like them enough to win the division. Texas lost a lot with Josh Hamilton. That was their rock. Even though he was a rock, they got hurt a lot and did a lot of drugs.
So I'm putting you down for Angels.
I'm going to pick the Angels.
Yeah.
I apologize. I have to pick the Angels.
No,
played with him, if they would have had Mike Trout that extra month, they were only five games back at the end of last year.
Yep,
if they would have had Mike Trout that extra month, that kind of production,
right?
They probably would have won the division.
The thing that scares me a little bit about the Angels is their pitching staff. Once you get past Jared Weaver, I mean, you've got guys like Jason Vargas, Tommy Hansen.
C.J. Wilson,
who knows where he's at in his life.
I can't remember. They have one more, though, don't they?
That's what we're talking about. That's where we're at. We can't even name the...
No, we should be able to name this last one.
We'll find him. We got Jared Weaver, CJ Wilson, there he is, Jason Vargas, Tommy Hansen, and he's not even in the top 80 starting pitchers.
Okay, well, anyway, regardless, someone's pitching on the Angels, okay? We promised there was a fifth starter.
I guess I could look it up right here.
It's fine. Dan, don't worry about it.
I'm already got it. I'm already on it.
Dan is very, very upset about
this. Look for this projected fifth starter. We have... that's right. How did I forget about him? Joe Blanton.
Oh, yes. Joe Blanton, the very solid ex-Philly.
Yeah, so...
Who's their closer now? He's got someone.
So, for the beginning of the year, it's going to be Ernesto Friere.
Yep.
And then, end of April, Ryan Madsen comes back.
Ryan Madsen, yes. How many Phillies are going to the Angels?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, because they just got rid of, Jordan Walden.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now they got Ryan Madsen. I mean, Ryan Madsen, very solid.
So, lineup for the Angels, not really a question mark. Pitching staff?
That has got to be the most fun lineup card ever.
Sure.
You could put people anywhere on that thing and still be successful.
I think it helps, too, that if you got this lineup...
What's the projected lineup right now?
Trout. Eric Ivar, Pujols, Hamilton, Trumbo, Howie Kendrick, Alberto Callaspo, Chris Iannetta, Peter Borges.
Okay, so pretty much every single one of those players is fantasy relevant.
Yeah.
You know how like you say, okay, well, we have a friend who's a Yankee fan, and I hope he's listening to this right now. But every year when we draft, he drafts almost all Yankee players, and he always loses because that's like his Achilles heel, is that he will have to have certain guys on his team. If you drafted the entire Angels roster, you're probably doing pretty good.
Yeah, you wouldn't be horribly upset.
No.
Yeah, solid. And the thing that's going to help guys like Blanton, Vargas, Hanson, is that a guy like Jason Vargas, who's slotted as the four starter, is going to be pitching against, say, Seattle's fourth starter when they play.
Oh, yeah, but that's the one you picked, though. So yeah, Seattle's fourth starter obviously must be better because you picked them.
No, well, he's not. I think that helps Vargas, though, because Vargas gets this lineup, but against a lesser pitcher.
But Vargas used to be on Seattle, so you don't think he feels guilty at all for beating up on his old team?
No. No.
Okay.
Well, so,
I'm a little more sentimental, apparently.
Last one, AL East.
That would be the last one.
Go.
Why don't I always got to pick first?
Well, I picked first last time.
Yeah, the one time you pick first.
Fine, I'll pick first again.
Pick first again.
Pick first again. So, my super dark horse, who I'm not going to pick, but I'm going to give my dark horse, the Boston Red Sox.
How?
My actual pick is the
Orioles.
Are you
just picking, like, the teams that finished last year? You want to pick Minnesota? They finished last year. You pick Seattle, you're going to pick Boston.
Boston's got a lot of interesting talent.
You could pick Houston, Miami, Colorado.
I wouldn't pick Houston if someone had a gun to my head.
You pick Seattle, okay.
So I'm picking Baltimore.
Okay. Baltimore's good.
Yes.
Baltimore, they're playing with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, well, and I think there's another sexy pick in this division.
There's another very sexy pick.
And I think it's the Toronto Blue Jays.
It is the Toronto Blue Jays. They finished 22 games back last year, but obviously they're a completely different team this year.
Yeah, they're the Marlins.
With like what? Who was the Ricky Romero was like their best pitcher last year, and now he's like their fifth starter. So
yeah, it's nice.
Is that accurate?
It's something like that.
So
check that out.
Anyway, yeah, look up their pitching staff real quick. But yeah, they got what Brandon Morrow, R.A. Dickey,
Burley.
Yeah, very solid Mark Burley.
I'll give you 200 innings.
Yeah.
So, projected pitching staff. All right, Dickey, Brandon Morrow, Mark Burley, Josh Johnson, Ricky Romero.
Josh Johnson, that was the other one. There you go.
So, who are you going with?
I wanted to pick Baltimore, but you picked them. I'm going to pick Baltimore, too. They say that, the luck, they had a lot of luck last year. They had, I can't remember how many, like 17, 14, 15, whatever, something like that, one-run games that they won.
Probably, yep, yeah.
It was some absurd number that will never happen again. My thing is, I don't think they're going to have that many one-run games this year because they're going to be leading most of those.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, that's my guess. And they've got some. They got a pitching prospect in Dylan Bundy, who I think is
is absurd.
I think he's a legitimate ace candidate in his future. So,
maybe even this year, he's going to push. Yeah. He's going to push them as hard as he can to let him pitch this year.
Yep, and I think there's a good shot that he does.
Yes, and they got a lot of young pitching talent, or youngish, but. I can't see Toronto putting it all together. You know, when Miami had basically the same guys, pretty much, and nothing happened. What they finished last in their division, 29 games back. It's just because Miami moves to a different place. Just because they moved to Canada doesn't mean. And plus, I can't choose a Canadian team. I don't think to win it.
Right.
I don't think I'm allowed to actually by being an American citizen. So.
And so let's quickly so we can get our last topic in
here. Yeah, we got to finish the World Series.
Yeah, that's why this is.
Is this last topic?
This is the World. No, we're doing one more topic after this.
We got to quickly the last one because we're already out of time, Daniel.
So quick World Series matchup and winner.
Obviously, it's going to be the Tigers versus the Nationals, and the Tigers are going to win that one in, let's go, 6 games.
All right, so my World Series matchup, I'm going to go with the Reds.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to, even though I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, do I have to pick a team that made the playoffs?
No, you can pick whoever you want.
And you know what? I'm going to go Reds-Orioles, because I'm going to stick with the teams that I had making the playoffs.
Well,
I'm gonna
who are you thinking, though?
I was going to go Tigers as well.
Yeah, that's my boy.
Because like I said, logic for me dictates that they win the Central as well. And yeah,
you have to say, due to your allegiance.
Yes.
Makes sense.
If the Reds do play the Orioles, I believe the Reds win in 5.
Yep.
Last topic here. We're going to talk about two pitchers real quick who are in similar spots in the ESPN ranking.
Yes, they are.
Respectively at 57 and 64.
Yep, a very close, who do I pick between these two kind of guys?
Yep. Both had good years last year.
They did.
One's a perennial Cy Young candidate. One won the Cy Young last year. R.A. Dickey and Jared Weaver.
It's not David Price, so it's got to be...
Yeah.
Ari Dickey.
Ari Dickey and Jared Weaver. Yeah. What do you think?
Can't say that name enough.
No.
Ari Dickey.
It's a great name.
Yep.
Yeah, so Ari Dickey moved to Toronto, Hitters Park, City Field. I think that's what it's called.
I don't think it's a Pitcher's Park.
Or not Pitcher's Park, Hitters Park.
I don't think it's either a Hitters Park.
It's like halfway. It's more hitter. It leans more towards hitters.
I think it's better than City Field, though, I thought. The numbers were better. I don't know.
Either way.
He moved.
Yeah, and to a better division.
He moved to the AL, which usually almost always hurts pitchers.
Yeah, because you got to face an extra actual hitter.
Yes, because pitchers are not hitters. No. I'm sorry for all of you NL diehards that believe that pitchers always need to hit, but you know what? I hate watching strikeouts. You know, just when it's pathetic.
So, Dickey, I think they have him projected a bit low. I think he could actually repeat. Maybe not the same numbers, but I think he could be in similar sort of standing as he was last year.
I would agree
year.
With that.
He much improved lineup than he played with last year, and he still won, what, like 19 games last year, 20 games?
A lot. I think he won 20.
With that terrible Mets lineup, now you give him an offense.
That is the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, and the only thing...
Well, they also got Jose Bautista and Brett Lowry, and good players.
So, Dickey will be pitching against the ace of everybody's staff. He's playing against much improved lineups. I mean, he's got to play Baltimore, he's got to play the Yankees, he's got to play Tampa.
Pretty much everyone in the AL except for your dark horse.
My dark horse.
So extremely dark horse. It's so dark that you can't see them.
Not at night.
The Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, so in Boston, I mean, Boston's got some guys in the lineup if they stay healthy. Napoli, Will Middlebrooks, big power guys.
Will Middlebrooks. You love Will Middlebrooks.
I do.
The laser show.
So
that'd be Destroy, not Will Middlebrooks.
Yeah, so that's Dickey for you. Jared Weaver, kind of interesting, getting a little bit older.
Yep, and I think I mentioned last podcast, even though I did draft him, I believe, in that last draft that we had.
I don't think you were happy about it.
I mean, there wasn't really too many other options. I think Dickey was actually gone at that point. I have to look back, but maybe I wasn't thinking about it too much. But yeah, his velocity went down last year. Still had a very productive year fantasy-wise, but you know, that's a scary, scary sign of regression.
Yeah, and Jared Weaver, much better lineup than he pitched with last year. So I think he comes back. Than what he, I mean, I think he had a little bit of a down year last year, but I think he comes back.
Yes. In fact, I'm pretty sure at the beginning of the year he was actually, it was the last year, the year before, that he was absolutely dominating every other pitcher in fantasy.
Yes. So yeah, that's, we're running out of time here, so.
Well, yeah, okay, so who'd you pick between the two of them, basically? What?
Who would I pick between the two of them? I think I would pick Ari Dickey.
I hate to agree with you.
Yeah, I think Dickey offers a little bit more upside, just because, which is strange.
Dickey offers plenty of upside.
Yeah, so for those of you who didn't get the reference, smack yourself right now.
Yeah, or you know, go back to your middle school class.
Yes,
and don't listen to us ever again.
Right. So yeah, that concludes what we got for you today.
Yeah, we apologize for going a little long. But we were talking about Dickey, so
we actually didn't do too bad. And Mitch is still laughing to himself.
Yeah, making jokes.
So, podcast number 4 possibly could be coming to you Sunday night. Probably not.
Yeah, we're going to be, we're having the draft. We're going to have the 7th inning stretch in the Steens is probably going to last the entire draft, so.
Right. So, next podcast, though, we'll definitely tell you about our draft results.
Yeah, and then again, that's an AL-only 10-team league.
Yeah.
With slightly different, no wins, losses, just quality starts.
Right, so we'll be talking about those rosters and talking about how upset we are.
Yes, absolutely.
So you got that to look forward to.
Yeah, and that's our main league. That's going to be our, you know, blood and guts league.
Yes. And until then, if you got questions, if you've been drafting and are having, you know, second thoughts about players and whatnot, you know, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, at Fantasy Science.
Or send an email at this is fantasyscience@gmail.com,
yes,
correct?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And one of us will answer it. Hopefully it's me, so you get the right advice.
So, yeah, that's how you contact us, and we will chat with you all later.
Adios.
Fantasy Science is an associate with ESPN, Yahoo, CBS, NBC, or Major League Baseball. Mitch and Dan do not claim to know everything about fantasy baseball. If they did, they would not be recording this on their futon. For more fantasy advice, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Fantasy Science. Or email us at thisisfantasyscience@gmail.com. Matt Wieters was not harmed during the making of this episode.